These mighty men came from humble backgrounds.
Sounds like a Baptist business meeting, don't it?
Debt, distressed, and discontented. When David's brothers looked at him, they saw a shepherd, but God saw a king. When Goliath saw David, he saw a dog, but God saw a warrior. Transported their goods in caskets because they were confident they would die serving the cause. But listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. If we don't connect with this generation, and if we really think that they're going to revert back to Mayberry RFD and take up every tradition and preference we ever came up with, we're worse than crazy. You can't preach to a generation that doesn't exist anymore. Listen to me. You say, well, I'm not talking about compromising any vital doctrine. I'm talking about getting the fire of the Holy Ghost, brother, and seeing God do something in this generation.
You know, I've often said that a message prepared in the mind reaches minds. A message prepared in the heart reaches hearts. But a message prepared in the life reaches lives. Other electronic devices, and it's got all these soldering points, and you look at it, and this one's broken, so you reconnect those soldering points, and now it finally works. I kind of picture our brains that way. You know, when you take the Word of God and you memorize it word for word, it begins to connect those points. You begin to realize how you're able to retain more. You're able to think more of the thoughts of God.
Did you hear the joke about the three brothers that they all had given their gifts to mom for Mother's Day? And they were comparing notes. The oldest said, hey, I got mom a big old house with an elevator. Have you heard this? This is like really old. And second born son said, that's nice, but I got mom a limo with a driver. Anytime she wants to go anywhere, just get Rudy, he'll do it. Third born son, youngest son, and I am the third of three, may I put that in. Third born son said, that's nothing. You know, mom, she loves the Bible. I found five monks, took them 5 years to teach this parrot the Bible. All mom has to say is a reference, boom, that parrot will give the verse. Amazing. So Mother's Day came and went. Later, they got together with Mom. They said, Mom, what'd you think about these gifts? And Mom said, well, they were great. Oldest son, thank you for the house. It's way too big. I just live in one little room, but thank you. Second born son, thank you so much. That car is amazing. But the driver, Rudy, he's rude. I don't even use it anymore. Third born son, he's the youngest son. I told you I'm third born son, didn't I tell you that? He said, now mom, what'd you think? She said, son, that was amazing. Thank you. You knew exactly what I wanted. That chicken was delicious.
Another man said, we go through some meetings, but some meetings go through us. And what happened was we got clean and we got clear. We got clean with God through the blood. We got clear with fellow man. Walls came down. The roof came off. The walls came down. The bottom fell out. And we were knee deep in love. Fasting is when you're more hungry for God than you are for physical food. I believe that's one of the missing elements in the quest for revival. It's no longer us and them. I'm telling you, there's needs in the best Bible committed churches. I'm here to tell you, brother, we got the worst of sins in the best of churches.
In Christ, I don't just have to end me. I don't have to give up my rights, reputation, resources, and resentments. I can experience this crucifixion with Christ and die to my old way of living, but I get a brand new life.
The U.S. Federal Aviation Administration has a unique device for testing the strength of windshields on airplanes. The device is a gun that launches a dead chicken at a plane's windshield at approximately the speed the plane flies. The theory is that if the windshield doesn't crack from the carcass impact, it'll survive a real collision with a bird during flight. what seems the British were very interested in this and wanted to test a windshield on a brand new speedy locomotive they were developing. So they borrowed the FAA's chicken launcher and they loaded the chicken and fired it. The ballistic chicken shattered the windshield, broke the engineer's chair, embedded itself in the back wall of the engine's cab. The British were stunned. They asked the FAA to recheck the test to see if anything was done correctly or incorrectly. And the FAA reviewed the test thoroughly, and they had one recommendation. Use a thawed chicken. So let me tell you a simple story. I'm taxiing out to the runway, okay? Because I want you to understand that you are responsible to transfer your convictions that Christ has given to you to others. This is called discipleship. Because none of us are going to be around in the next 50 years. Okay, 100 years. You say, well, we're not going to be around. No, the country's not going to be around. Maybe. Maybe. I don't think so either, but... And what is your game plan to take what you know in the Spirit of God that's taught you and give this to the next generation? He's not going to hold me responsible if I'm out of obedience to an all I can do. My child and my children, I love more than ever. I appreciate what Harold said. I'm willing to die for my kids. Am I willing to change for my kids?
During the spring of 1904, a young Welshman named Eben Roberts was repeatedly awakened at 1 a.m. He met with God until 4 a.m. in the morning. The Welsh revival followed.
Our word, the word of God, has one way to look at stewardship, and the world has another. If we give first to the Lord and we save second, and we're using a 10% rule on each one, we give 10%, we save 10%, then we have to learn to live on 80%. So give a tithe to start with and grow from there. So we use a national organization called the National Center for Life and Liberty. It's a Dave Gibbs organization. You can use your local attorney, but we like to use a Christian because in a Christian's will, they're going to put your testimony in it. A will becomes a public document after you die, and your great-grandkids can look you up by the courthouse in your will, and you can put your testimony to Jesus Christ right in your will. You could be saving people from the grave, those great-great-grandchildren. Talk about really, really saving people. I mean, they're not saving them, but you're at least giving them your testimony where you stand. Oh, this is why our family has this great endowment or something like
that. It's high time. We have had a little militancy in the house of God against internal corruption and sin. Listen to me here this morning. You're a child of the living God if you're saved. You got a new nature, and somebody needs to rejoice in the fact that greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world.
A youth meeting in Conway, South Carolina, started with 170 teenagers and grew to crowds of 2,500 a night. Around 1,500 teenagers professed Christ in that extended meeting.
You heard about the story of Margaret Tiffel. She, lady, her and her husband, businessman, lived in France and doing business, he was, and she was a stay-at-home mom, and things were going well, living on a big boulevard. Read about it in the paper years ago, and they've been married for 25 years, and lots of stuff going on, and they lived in this boulevard where there was a no parking on the sidewalk right there in front of this big villa that they lived in and went up the stairs to their house. She was up there in the kitchen one morning. Her husband went off to work. And sure enough, here you go again, a car is parked illegally right in front of their villa. And something snapped inside of her, was like, that's it, I've had enough of this. So she goes to the kitchen and grabs a brush, a wire brush. She walks down the steps, looks this way, looks that way, and marks up the hood of this car. Citroen, it's like a Mercedes. Comes back in, gets back into the house, felt a little better this release. She felt justified. This car should have been parked there. 2 hours later, her husband comes home for lunch. Honey, you know, for our 25th wedding anniversary, bought your brand new Citroen. Wanted you to see it as soon as you got up, parked it right in front of the house. And can you believe it? Somebody vandalized it. And I remember reading that years ago and thinking, you know, Lord, what sometimes you bring into our life to bring us to light, we damage. I want you to turn to Genesis, if you would, because I want to get the runway there, but let me taxi out at 2 Corinthians 12:10. You and I both have a tendency to end up trying to figure out what's good, what's bad, and you're sorting it out, and you're still sorting it out. And the reality is, the very thing that you're wrestling with, the very thing that rolls around in your mind at night, that's the thing that God's wanting to use to bless you. He said, the reality is, he said, I really believe that God is sovereign, man is sinful, but grace is sufficient. I don't know what you're struggling with, but on a Friday night at a men's retreat, let me tell you something, this is the easiest place to make the hardest decisions. And if you won't surrender here and now, I wonder whether you ever will. I don't know how often it is that we think, well, you know, I'll just get over this little issue here and then everything will be good. And the reality is that good and bad do run on parallel tracks. And the very thing that you're wrestling with, that might just be the thing God wants to use to bless you. And that toughest battle is probably going to be with God. And why don't you take a moment while Drew plays? Why don't you do business with God? Maybe you need to go to your knees right there if you're physically able and just say, God, I'm going to make this a moment, this Brooke Jabach, where I surrender again. Turn your attention to Philippians 4. Let me taxi out to there. Howard Hendricks told the story as students that have a perverted sense of humor written on a chalkboard at a Bible college classroom. As one of the professors came in, he saw on the board this statement, this phrasing, there was once a student professor whose knowledge grew lesser and lesser. It at last grew so small, he knew nothing at all, so they made him a college professor. And probably true to that. It's kind of like the William Perry in 1820, an expedition up to the North Pole, and he documented this journal about trying to get up to the Northwest Passage, and he said on one particular day, he said, we took off sledding and mushing, and at the end of the day, we took our readings and found out that we're actually farther behind than when we started. And he realized that all day they'd been dog sledding and mushing on a giant ice floe. And in many ways, when you get old enough to realize, you kind of feel like you're on this ice floe, where when you think you're moving forward, you're actually, you're getting backwards. The times, as the Bible says, it's getting worse and worse. And yet, let me go back to my whole mantra that God is still sovereign. And man is still sinful. But his grace is sufficient to help us with this. You're not called a civilization. You are living on a slow ice flow that's moving backwards. But it doesn't mean that you say, okay, let's get all the people together and get on the edges of the ice flow and paddle. You're not called to that. And you're not called to say, well, okay, I guess there's nothing else I can do. And so I'm just going to put up my pup tent and go with the ice flow. You are called to make a difference in your world.
Years ago, I was preaching at a youth meeting in Pontiac, Michigan for Dr. Malone. And I was hungry. I went to a Wendy's. I ordered my food, and my habit is to try to give a track. When I exchange money, store, wherever, I give a track. I gave a track to the guy who handed me my food. He looked at the track. He looked at me. He looked at the track. And he looked at me. He said, I am a Bible student at Dr. Malone's school. You are the first one that has ever given me a track at this restaurant.
The two truths are very simple. Christ died, so I died. Christ rose again, so I rose again. In his power, I can defeat sin. Because sin is no longer my master. I have a new master. It's Christ in me. He literally says sin does not have to have dominion. It does not have to enslave you anymore. You can be free.
And I'm telling you, what, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in you if you're saved. And quit concentrating on your depravity and praise God for the new nature that he put in your hearts when you got born again. Brethren, your mind is like a guest room in your house. And I want to say this, that every visitor that comes into your life will come in through the avenue of your mind. And when these visitors, these thoughts come into the mind, if we entertain them, then they drop down into our spirit. They possess our entire being. And that's the development of a stronghold, a satanic beachhead in the mind. If you think wrong, you are wrong. If you believe wrong, you live wrong. And you know what a learner is? You know what a learner is? A learner is somebody who is willing to unlearn what he never should have learned in order to learn what he should have learned in the first place. I was in a church one time. This old big burly guy came up to me. Man, he had his hair all slicked back. He didn't have a dab of Brill Cream. He had the whole thing. And here he was, a big old burly kind of guy. Looked me right in the eye, about shook my arm out of the socket. He said, "Brother Harold, I'm what you call a militant fundamentalist." I looked at him and I said, "Well, God could probably give you victory over that if you'd pray about it."
Newsflash, the mortgage has been paid. You don't have to keep paying on it. You don't have to keep condemning yourself. You don't have to keep living in the power of sin. You don't have to keep living in the debt of sin. You have a heavenly Father who has granted you forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, that when you approach him humbly and you ask for forgiveness, he will always grant it to you because it's already been given. The mortgage has been paid. So each and every day, what do I need to do? I need to wake up reckoning myself to be dead to sin.
Oh, praying high, the great prayer man of India one time was praying. And he was going to pray to the Lord about a certain brother who had fallen away and lost his way. And he began to pray. He said, "Oh, God, you know how cold. Lord, you know how cold so-and-so is." And praying high, said, God put a stay on his lips. And said, "Praying high, you're no better than the devil who accuses the brethren day and night before the throne of God." Accusations in prayer, even. Ooh.
But most of you know the story. D.L. Moody had a commitment to God that he would never pillow his head until he witnessed to someone every day. One night, he went to his hotel. He started to go to sleep. "I didn't witness anyone." You may know the story. He quickly went out, and it was raining, and saw someone with an umbrella. He went over and said, "May I share your umbrella?" The man said, "Sure." Long story short, he witnesses the man. He trusts Christ as Savior.
Man, rehearsing your hurts was going to cultivate bitterness, but rehearsing your blessings is going to cultivate gratitude. God wants Baptist people to be full of joy, and one of the most magnanimous, attractive things about the Christian faith is when the people of God have the joy of their salvation. Mm-hmm.